On the WPTF Weekend Gardener 907. And we've got Brother Rufus with us this morning. Gerald Adams is here. Everybody knows Gerald. And, of course, Amanda Bratcher is with us, who has done a lot of things in her life related to gardening. But she is they're lucky enough to have her in Lee County as an extension agent. Some hardworking folks. And we love all the extension agents. And certainly a lot of them have been on this show over the years. So before we get started on anything else, Gerald, Henry's birthday was last week, wasn't it?
Week before last.
Can you give us a report on the activities?
Yeah, I don't know if you did an accounting.
So he was 6 years old. He had just graduated from kindergarten. His birthday party this year he had at the bowling alley.
He's a bowler, huh?
Cool. So he has started bowling. That went surprisingly well. I think my daughter, his mom, was a little apprehensive about it, but that's what he wanted to do.
Because it was a kind of a weapon in his hands, a bowling
well,
ball, or
not so much that, but it went really, really good.
I'm sure. So he had some friends.
Yeah, had some friends there, and my other grandsons came down from Virginia, and they was able to participate in that.
Good,
got to see them.
Did you bowl?
No, I did not bowl. I told them that I shouldn't let a professional get involved with it when they were trying to have fun.
Yeah. Well, you're right.
And they laughed and snickered, and I probably hadn't bowled in 30 years, so it would have been.
But I really should have
because they put up the guards.
Oh, yeah.
So you couldn't throw
in.
It in the gutter. And I'm like, well, that makes sense.
I didn't know there was such a thing.
Yeah, they do that for the kids, so it'll bounce off. They'll throw them down there and it'll bounce off the gutter, and they may get a strike or
so something. So they have special size balls for a 6-year old?
They've got smaller ones for them there.
How
so
about that?
That was kind of entertaining watching.
I'm sure
that.
It was.
Gutter guards for Gerald.
So that went great.
Gutter guards, yeah. Are you a bowler commissioner?
Not to mount anything. not to brag about.
Do you golf more than you bowl? Or
I don't know a fence post from a golf club. That's one thing I've never wasted my time on. I was out there one time, big golf tournament, the Edmiston Golf Tournament. And I was out there about 2 hours, and I said, this is foolish. I could be in the garden somewhere. And by the way, I mentioned the break a while ago about you never know who's been listening to this show. It's such a widespread audience.
Yeah, it is.
I was at Wake Spine in pain yesterday, and this nice PA, a physician's assistant named Jennifer, saw my chart, and she said, you're not the Rufus on the Weekend Garden.
No, I'm the former Attorney General and Secretary of State.
No, never mind, that other stuff. She said, I listen to the Weekend Gardener all the time.
What's her name?
So cool.
What's
her name is Jennifer.
Jennifer. Jennifer, good morning. I hope you're listening today.
I've got a last name I can't begin to pronounce.
That's all right.
But she was, she sure showed me I had pain in my neck because she punched the right button and I yelled. But we're going to fix that. I'm going to do it. I'm going to try a massage first.
Oh, okay. Mm. You're not going to wear a brace or anything? Or?
No.
A brace or a bit? Or a bit.
Or a brace. To turn the whole body to look and see if a car's coming.
A brace, a bit, or a I don't know, harness. Johnny is with us. Johnny Bail is out of this conversation here.
I'll do my best. I have a question. I met Gerald in April, and very fine fella, and yep. bought some beautiful plants for him. Unfortunately, some of my tomatoes did not make it. It has nothing to do with him. What I got for him were beautiful. Anyway, the leaves started kind of curling up. They turned like a purple black. I was able to you know, trim some of the disease off. So I don't know if that's something that's coming from my, so I have raised beds. I don't know if that's something that's coming from the bed itself, from underneath coming up. I have no idea, if you have any ideas.
So how big were the plants when this?
They were big. They were two and a half, 3 feet bushy. They were all Cherokee purple.
And did you have tomatoes in that bed last year?
No.
Out of that.
I had the last crop in there probably were turnips.
Okay. So it's without seeing a picture, it's
hard to say.
I will say that with all this rain we've had, and then and the humid weather that came along with it, people are sending me all kinds of pictures of various fungal problems.
It seems to attack one plant. I had six plants, and a couple of them were cherry, and they all kind of died individually. I still have two alive. That one I think will survive, but the other. I just didn't know. It was kind of like a wrinkled brown, black, purple on the outer edges of some of the branches of the leaves. So, mm-hmm. I don't know.
So did it start with the oldest leaves at the bottom and work its way up the plant, or
well,
there was no rhyme or reason?
I think they started more at the top and kind of worked the top and the sides. Hmm. But anyway, I took some cuttings off one of them yesterday, and I'm going to hopefully see, you know, get some roots from going from that, and I replanted it. I've got tomatoes in other areas, but the eggplant and the poblano peppers, jalapeno peppers are doing great, and I appreciate it.
Do you have my card with my contact information on it?
I do.
Email or text me some pictures
okay.
of it, and I'll take a look at it and get back.
That'd
with you.
Be nice. Y'all have a wonderful day.
You too, Johnny. Thanks. Stay out of that hot weather next week if you can.
Well, I like it hot.
Oh, you do?
Woo.
I just don't understand it. But I'm glad you
I
do.
Hate the cold.
You and Johnny Hood, who the late Johnny Hood, who was one of my colleagues and you know, a legendary announcer here, just love the hot weather. Couldn't get too hot for him.
Well, Johnny, I've got some chores out of the house I'll be glad to share with you.
I've got a big yard, and I don't know if you remember, I mentioned my sodding.
Yeah.
I was having an otter problem.
Yeah.
I think Mike used one last year. And he said, well, it's probably the best. It's doing better if there were anything of a natural fertilizer, and you're exactly right.
Yeah.
It did well, and I put up a fence, but they kept it up about 2 weeks. But the yard's established now, so it's not a problem.
Well, I'm so glad. And what kind of grass do you have?
I have Bermuda.
Bermuda, stock. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Had to repair my seawall, and when they did that, they, you know, the guys, when they do the anchor bolts behind the wall, they have to stick up all. They have a dirt. I had a dirt patch for 40 by 100. So put sod in from New Server sod and New Server turf, and looks good.
I have
done a lot of water.
I'm glad. Yeah, yeah, a lot of water. There's no doubt about that. But it should be okay now.
Okay. Yeah, you fertilize the Bermuda stock? Because it's never been fertilized. I heard the young lady talk about do not fertilize your gardens, which I will not do. Would you fertilize a Bermuda sod yard?
Only if you can get it wet.
I'll keep it wet.
Yeah.
I'll water, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. If you can water, yes. Now, I would, you know, ideally, if I saw, and I don't know y'all's weather could be different. We don't look like we have much of a rain chance. And if it was going to be 100 degrees or close to it 7 or 8 days in a row, I might would wait to the following week when the weather
okay.
let up a little bit, because that 1 week's not going to make a whole lot of difference.
I agree.
The fertilizer
think,
getting to the Bermuda.
Yeah, and that is the forecast for next week.
Yeah.
Y'all have a wonderful day.
You too, Johnny.
Nice talking with you.
Nice talking to you, my friend.
Okay.
You call
bye
us
bye.
Again. Bye.
I'll do it. Bye-bye.
Okay. Yeah, a lot of people, Gerald, are thinking about their lawns right now, the fescue. I mean, the fescue has looked really good this year.
It has.
Because of
We've
all
had
of
all
the
this rain.
Yeah. And the weeds are looking extra good, too, which kind of mixes in, at least in my yard, with because I just, you know, I don't have a lot of lawn space anymore. I have a lot of plants of one kind or another, but not sod. But there are a lot of people who do wide expanses of it. I don't know which variety of Bermuda Johnny had, but that's... There are a lot of different varieties now of Bermuda. I know some have been developed at NC State, out on Lake Wheeler, and so.
Bermuda still to me is the number one warm season grass because it's it has the least number. It's the closest to idiot proof, I guess is the best way to put it. out of that, I mean, it doesn't have really a lot of disease issues. You can have some pest issues like army worms or the grubs we were talking about earlier, but it's pretty hardy and requires probably the least amount of maintenance. You know, I didn't say it was maintenance free, but compared to, you know, fescue, which is is a nightmare to try to grow. And, you know, it grows so if you're hardy that, you know, if you got a good stand, often you don't have a lot of weeds in it because it just chokes them.
Yeah.
Chokes them out, which is another plus from it.
But again, especially with Bermuda, you've got to have at least 6 hours, preferably more than 6 hours.
A minimum of 6 hours. And yes, you need to keep it fertilized. And yes, you need to keep it aerated. And all those things that make it grow faster means you're going to have to cut it more frequently. Mm-hmm. So that kind of goes with all that as well. And one thing some people don't realize with your Bermuda, if you ever see it make tassels, it's not going to run anymore. So you need to keep it cut. And you really can't hardly cut it too low. It's just going to speed everything up, which will help it run more, which if you've got thin areas, it will cover those for you quicker.
And turf, I mean, NC State, you mentioned NC State and Lake Wheeler Road. Yeah. NC State's got the Turf Files website, which you can find. There is a really easy year-round maintenance calendar that's on there for homeowners to know how to do what they need to do to their turf.
You can get a PDF of Carolina lawns, too, there.
And the mowing height's super important. You raise a really great point. People forget about this. You know, they want to, you know, they don't want to mow their lawns or it's too hot.
It's 100 today. I don't want to cut the grass.
Yeah, and you have to cut. If you're managing turf grass and you want it to be healthy, that is part of the maintenance of proper turf management is getting out there and mowing at the proper height and cleaning your mower and making sure your mower is properly serviced. People scalp their turf and that weakens it. But they also don't clean it off. And anytime you got any kind of rotten stuff up in your mower, that's just a breeding ground for disease. If you're sharing mowers or if you got a mow and blow guy, anytime they're moving between turf grass, you know, they're picking up stuff on their mower. If they don't blow it off between lawns, they could be taking weeds into your property or diseases from other people. So proper mower maintenance is also just as important as proper turf maintenance.
All right. We'll talk more about lawns and tomatoes and all kinds of stuff on the Weekend Gardener here on WPTF. It's 9:19. We're back on WPTF at 9:23. You know, I'm driving, and we haven't driven off the road into a ditch yet with some other subject. We're on strong ground for actual gardening today. That's all we've talked about.
Well, I heard all that talk about lawns and things, and it brought me back to my usual refrain. A little clover doesn't hurt anything. A little clover.
Yeah. Smells sweet. The bees like it.
I like to look out over that lawn and see all the little white blooms of that white clover. And I have to admit this. There's nothing to do about stilt grass except mow it down. Yeah. And frankly, if you mow it, I know, Amanda, this is going to shock you, but when you can't do anything about it except destroying everything else, just mow it.
You can't let it seed out.
No.
You let it seed out.
Totally.
Unreal. I sprayed some yesterday.
Now, one of Rufus's favorite subjects is snakes. And I read yesterday that hospitals around here are seeing a lot more snake bites. Because there are copperheads out there.
When I walked
any of y'all encountered one this year?
First time I've never encountered one in Myrtle Manor. Never.
Huh.
The first year.
Yeah. So
you may have spoken too soon.
Now
you've jinxed it.
I carry a big stick.
The snake people, and Clapp used to carry a hoe. But the snake people advise you to wear boots of some type. And, I mean, even rubber boots, gardening boots. And be careful where you place your hands.
Yeah.
When you're cleaning up stuff.
That's just a stick.
That's just good.
Yeah.
Sense anyways, you know, don't go out in the garden in your flip-flops, and especially in high grass, you know, because you're not wear long pants.
Or in clover, because the bees will be out there.
Yeah.
Well, step on a bee.
We've had at the extension office in Lee County, we have a big problem with black widows. Because we have a shed.
Okay, well, that's...
And they love black pots, and they love being in metal sheds, and we keep it fairly clean, but I still kick stuff before I because I did, in fact, hand somebody with a black widow was in the pot, and I looked in it, because I always look in them, because I'm looking for them, and I saw her in there, and I'm like, crap.
Well, that's, that can be dangerous for people, certainly, who are allergic.
Well, I heard something a while ago. I want to go back to this thing about something coming out of a roach. Now, who talked about that? What was that?
No, that was the parasitic wasps. So I sent you guys a video. It's a gentleman who does a series called True Facts on YouTube, but he did one on parasitic wasps. And wasps are, you know, we always think of paper wasps or, you know, dirt daubers or things that are going to attack you because they built their nest underneath your porch. But some of the smallest insects that we know of are actually wasps. Some of the smallest wasps are smaller than the width of our hair, but they are phenomenal organisms that they help control the populations of other insects. So less than 0.1% of all the known insect species in the world are known pests. But, you know, everything has got to be in balance. But so parasitic wasps of all shapes, sizes, and colors help control those populations. I mean, there's a parasitic wasp for almost every insect out there.
Well, I hope I can get a gang of them out of the house. Those roaches that go through my kitchen when I turn the lights on there, and they're having a jambo. And I don't know why I put out all kinds of bait, and I don't know what to do about it. They're almost big enough to put a saddle on a ride.
Almost.
Even if you have the professional pest control people, you're still going to get...
By the way, I had a question the other day. A lady, she said, the squirrels eat, when my pecans drop, the squirrels eat them before, and I suggested I must garden the granular.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, I said, I can't do anything about those up in the tree, but she said when my pecans drop... Everybody has a squirrel problem. I said, well, why don't you try a musk garden?
Yeah.
Yeah, to make them distasteful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Shotgun works, too.
We just...
now a man does. A lot of people are into city limits. Pellet guns.
There you go. That works, too.
But when I was telling the woman, that man beside me said, shotgun.
This, of course, not endorsed by Curtis Media
or any
of our affiliates.
The parasitic wasps, you know, Daryl, we were talking about, indoor greenhouse production. And, you know, when you're growing, especially tomatoes inside of a greenhouse, you know, there's so many pests that they can get, like thrips and aphids and whitefly. But there are also parasitic wasps and other parasitoid insects that these growers can buy to release into their greenhouses to create a population that will control for those pests. So we know those species pretty well for some of our agricultural crops.
Well, I know how much they love figs, too. By the way, I've got a great fig crop this year, just abundance. I've had the
first, I've actually eaten a few.
The first crop
off mine
are those as big as a softball, maybe 15 or 20 of them.
And is that Celeste? Yeah, wow. Mm.
And I always count no more than 15 or 20. And then the other crop come along as big as the end of my thumb now.
Wow.
So it's a big crop.
All right, we'll take a break. We've already been through an hour and a half of this show, and it feels like we just sat down.
Mostly gardening.
And mostly gardening. How about that?
Where have all our other crazies?
I'm sitting right here. We'll be back with more on The Weekend Gardener. It is 9:33 on The Weekend Gardener at WPTF, and our buddy brother Billy is on the line from the State Farmers Market in Raleigh. Morning, Billy. How's everything?
Well, good morning. Everybody's great this morning.
Well, it's going to get hot.
Oh, it's all right. We got big fans.
That's right. Oh. You got those big fans. That certainly helps the customers and the vendors out there and those buildings, open-air buildings, farmers' buildings.
Yeah, that's a big, beautiful fan.
It is.
Several of them. So you got plenty of peaches, and do you still have blueberries and blackberries? And
you probably don't
have any strawberries, but maybe you do.
Well, yeah, I think Whitfield did have a few strawberries when I walked by there this morning. We got watermelons.
Oh boy, yeah! I've had some watermelon, and it's great. It's great. It's so refreshing. I love to have it. And so you got watermelon. Any cantaloupe yet?
We do.
Good.
Cantaloupe.
Seems like last year was a really good year for cantaloupe. I don't know why that sticks out in my mind.
What's our buddy's cantaloupe that we with the amber?
Oh yeah, that's the that's up in near New Orleans. What is that called?
Cantaloupe Gerald, our lead singer of the Embers, he likes that kind of cantaloupe, Billy.
Maybe Big John's listening. He would know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little community up there, and they have a cantaloupe festival. I'll figure it out.
We literally talked about this time last year. Mm-hmm. I remember it.
Oh, my goodness.
Deja vu?
Yeah. Well, Billy, I was out yesterday. I want to report.
Ridgeway.
I want to report that the Silver Queen corn was going like crazy. I got me 12 ears. Now, I fudged. I let them do the shucking and the.
It's not fudging. It's, yeah, being smart.
Yeah, I did that. And I also went by to see. My friend Judy Montague, and she gave me a chocolate Oreo cake.
Oh, thank you.
Judy.
Yeah. It was, and I had some at breakfast this morning.
Oh. Well.
Breakfast of champions.
She can come up. Well, you know, chocolate's good for you.
And
dark Billy, chocolate.
I know you're going to talk about the restaurants here at some point, but our dear friend, Kemp, over at the seafood restaurant, and his mother's a big, big listener. Mm-hmm. Big John and I are going to go out and have lunch. Well, I would call it dinner where I grew up with the
dinner and supper.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Dinner and supper. We're going to have, I'm going to have fried oysters is my favorite at Kemp. Kemp is just such a pleasant, wonderful guy.
Now, do you eat them without sauce or with?
I put tartar on them.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
all
I
right.
do.
But sounds good to me.
And of course, I have another meal left when I leave.
At least one.
At least.
Melissa doesn't like oysters. She'd have to get something else. But they've got a wide variety of seafoods.
And you need a U-Haul to take the stuff home.
Yeah, they give you plenty.
Kemp is so generous with his proportions. I know his father too, by the way.
Sheriff.
Who's the high sheriff of Orange County, Sheriff Pendergrass. But anyway, Gerald, Billy, sorry for interrupting you so much.
Yeah, we had our we were down in the farmer's building. We just went wild. We ran up to the market shops all of a sudden.
Hey, this place is like OCD. It's not working. Come on, go get them.
All right. I need to find out if we got any butter beans on the horizon there.
There's maybe some on the horizon. We just don't have
okay.
Them.
Doggone it. Okay. Well, I'm leaving the country anyway today, so I won't be able to. I don't think I have any butter beans in Norway.
The question is, can we get him to stay?
So, we won't. So what else you got there besides those peaches? We didn't even talk about the peaches. I just mentioned them. You got a lot of varieties?
Yeah, we do. I was talking to the lady this morning and asked her when would they start being freestone, and she said possibly next week.
So, all right.
The ones
that are not freestone have been great this year. All of them that I've had have had good flavor. Yeah.
I stopped at Sugarloaf. That's the that's the county, Alexander County.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Taylorsville.
Yeah, Taylorsville. Right.
Well, what else you got under the farmer sheds this morning?
Well, we got bell peppers and squash and cucumbers and herbs and eggplant, potatoes, sweet potatoes, fish squash, onions. We got a whole mess of about everything you want almost.
Sounds like a good lunch.
Yeah, it does.
Hmm.
By the way, I saw the little salad things that hydroponics.
Uh-huh.
There, Billy, mm-hmm. And people were busy around that place.
They tell me I'm wrong because I look at that stuff and I thought it was live floor mat. And they told me, no, that wasn't what it was. So I got a big lesson.
Live floor mats?
Yeah, it looked like live floor mats. I thought you put them in front of your front door and bring the green right up on the porch. And they said, no, you eat these things. I was like, well, I ain't never done it. So they give me a big lesson.
Need a chaser for that, don't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, they're good, Billy. They're good. They're real tender.
They are nutritious, and it's amazing. You eat that little sprout, or microgreen, which is bigger than a sprout, but you eat that thing, it tastes just like the vegetable.
Yeah.
Need to have a whole barrel of sprouts for supper.
Yeah.
Feel like you've eaten anything. No, they are good for you. Well, sir.
Balaam for Mike's supper.
Right, yeah, the baling would be better. Have a little consistency is important.
Feed the kale to the cows.
So you've got a lot of plants, I'm sure.
We do. We have about three-quarters of a building full of plants.
I'll be doggone.
Trees, fruit trees, boxwood, house plants. Perennials, annuals, a lot of pretty colors. And them Gerber daisies down there, I love walking by looking at them, all them different colors. They just look at you like they're smiling, like they want to go home with you.
That's right, and there are some taller varieties now that are easier to care for. They're not as picky, so and they're pretty. I know Phil was showing me some last time I was out there.
What we saw, too, when we were at Cary, what were those tall things, Mike?
I don't remember. That was a sun. It was
somebody with black-eyed Susan.
Yeah, it was. It was a. They were tall. Yeah. Black-eyed Susans, basically. And that have you, Amanda? Have you been to the downtown Cary Park?
Not yet.
We did the show from there last week.
Oh, did you have Patrick McMillan?
We did. Patrick was on the whole show.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. Okay, I'm going to have to definitely go back.
Yeah. Listen. What a great guy. And that's they've outdone themselves in Cary.
Well, they should. Dr. Patrick McMillan is a phenomenal plantsman. And they got really lucky when he switched over to that job because.
I'd say they were.
So, Lord goodness, if it has something to do with Patrick, if it looks like a black-eyed Susan, it could be a Rudbeckia, it could be a Heliopsis, it could be
I think it was probably Rudbeckia.
It could be a Silphium.
I think it was
Rudbeckia,
a tall Rudbeckia.
That's exactly right. And by the way, Amanda, he's from Boone.
Easy.
That's right.
Yes.
All right,
I did not know that.
Billy, hold on. We're going to be back and talk with you some more about what's happening at the farmer's market. And everybody else can call 919-860-9783. It's 942. We'll be right back. All right, 9:45, and we back to Billy at the State Farmers Market. Let's go up to the market shops and smell that sourdough bread, raisin bread cooking, baking, and you can smell the coffee there at 3, 2, 1. And the Rufus dogs are being prepared at the market grill. So if you're hungry, if I haven't already made you hungry by talking about that, you need to go up there. Right, Billy? I'm sure you have this morning. Do we have Billy?
That place is my downfall.
The market shops, yeah.
Yeah.
Which aspect of it? The market grill, the market bakery, or 3-2-1 coffee?
Yeah.
Or something in between.
Yeah.
Stick candy. And Gina Montague's desserts.
There you go.
Yeah.
Man, I just thought there is so much up there. Soaps. I use quite a bit of different soaps and lotions that they sell up there. And, you know, you got good people who know they make the stuff themselves, and you can talk to them and they tell you exactly what you need.
I like the lavender and goat's milk cream.
I favor the aloe vera.
You like aloe vera?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Our tender hands.
Tender hands. Oh, yeah, I do have tender hands. I have tender skin. I got eaten up last week by chiggers, I think.
Ooh.
And a couple of them, I had one on my heel, of all places, and one between my toes. And the doctor said it's probably not fire ants. He said most likely chiggers. Mm-hmm. That's what I figured. But I hadn't had chiggers in 50 years since I was at Camp Chestnut Ridge. But I was walking around looking at some cows on a pasture last weekend. So
you
I
had
think
no
that's
socks
where
it, on? Had no socks on, did you?
Well, I had low, you know, the real ankle socks.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but they made their way up some on my leg too, as chiggers will do. But boy, that's a mad itch. I tried not to scratch at all, but I finally went to the doctor because I'm flying out today,
yeah,
overseas, and I didn't want anything infected.
So they say to let a chigger back out. Some of your lady's fingernail polish will do it. I used to do that.
I think it works, but I looked that up, and it says it's an old wives' tale. So I don't know.
It's worked for
it
me.
It worked for me.
It worked for me, too. I don't know. That's weird. So, Billy, we've been through the seafood restaurant. We need to go to the farmer's market restaurant and get some big-time biscuits there.
Man, part of my heat up here this week. Sausage and gravy biscuits one day. And then one day I just wanted something different. I got up there and got some egg, grits, and fried bologna. And that was steak.
Fried bologna. I ain't had fried bologna. Can't even say it this morning. Fried bologna in a long time.
Yeah, I got to cut the edges now to keep them curling all the way up.
Yeah.
That's right.
And, I mean, you know that you're at the right place when you get fried bologna and molasses and homemade biscuits.
You don't even want to get up for the longest time. They have to run you out of there if you start eating stuff like that.
Well, Linda and I went last Saturday and ran up on Phil and her dear husband and David, and we all just sat there, had Palmer with us, and we sat at the same table.
Good.
And really had a great lunch.
Yeah, that's a great place to have a good time anywhere at the State Farmer's Market. You got Watermelon Day or anything like that coming up?
I don't have got anything on my calendar yet. We do have 4th of July, the food truck rodeo will start
at
10 o'clock. And it's, like I said last week, they're going to have some music and dancing, and I think 13, 14 food trucks.
Okay.
It's a good way to spend the evening.
I'm telling you. Yeah, just walk from truck to truck.
And a lot of our vendors are going to be open as well, so.
Yeah, what's the date of that again? 4th of July? Okay, it's on 4th of July.
Friday.
All right, Brother Billy, you take care. Always a pleasure talking to you, sir.
Enjoy talking to y'all. Y'all come see us.
We shall. Might be a week after next because I got some other things to do.
I'll see you next week, Billy.
All right. Might see you today. 919-860-9783. Johnny is with us. Johnny, good morning. Oh, Johnny's driving.
Hey, Charlie.
Oh, okay. Charlie. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Charlie.
No problem.
Johnny looks like Charlie to me. What the heck?
Yeah, a lot of people over the telephone don't speak that well sometimes.
Yeah.
Got a question about Virginia buttonweed.
Virginia buttonweed. Mm-hmm.
How in the world do you get rid of it?
You sound a little depressed, Charlie. Sound a little down. Dynamite. Boy, we go from shotguns to dynamite this morning. I don't know what's wrong with y'all. What would Henry do?
He'd get rid of that.
Yeah, pulling's the best thing, but I know it's hard. There are contact herbicides that you can spray on it, but has been a good year because it's been nice and wet.
You usually got to spray them multiple times because it's so thick you can't get a good leaf coverage when you're spraying it. Make sure to read. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. I can't remember what I used last time. But most of your broadleaf weed killers will get it, but it's going to take more than one application.
For sure.
What have you tried?
I've tried everything from Roundup to stuff that I've ordered. It's got what I call nematodes on the roots, and it comes back from that. You kill what's on top.
Mm. Yeah, they have very thick rhizomes underground, which is why you have to do multiple applications of an herbicide, and you have to switch it out if you've been using the same thing over and over. You can select for resistant varieties, but Gerald's hit it on the head. You just got to hit it multiple times, and if you haven't, try adding a surfactant to the like a spreader sticker. You can buy it. And you just add usually a little tablespoon or whatever the label says. You always do it by the label. Whatever the label says to add, that can kind of help that chemical penetrate the leaves.
What does this monster look like? I'm not...
It almost has a yellowish look to it, and you'll see it often in an area where maybe water has stood. You'll see it in ditches or at the edges, lower parts.
And it's Virginia what?
Buttonweed.
Buttonweed, okay.
Okay, sort of a cute little thing, but
it is a
menace.
It looks kind of scary, because it's nice and thick and dense, and if you got turf, it'll usually come up in a wet spot in your turf, and it's very effective at spreading. But most of them are native. But they are an aggressive kind of grass.
Well, I have some in my bog. The bog.
It just came to me. It takes a while for my things. I believe MSM was a herbicide that I used on it before. And off the top of my head, I don't know what the active ingredient is in that. But that, I believe that. And I think I had to spray it twice, about 10 days apart.
Oh, Charlie, is this mixed in with your lawn?
Yeah.
Probably. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that is a problem. And, of course, with the Roundup, you had to kill everything.
Yeah.
I did that, too.
You went crazy there, Charlie. You spraying everything in sight.
So this is so what you sprayed, MSM, is a metasulfuron methyl 2.
Yeah, remember that, Charlie.
Yeah, MSM is a lot easier to.
That sounds like the British Secret Service.
MI5.
Oh, Lord. That's funny.
I'll get that. Try that then. I've tried everything else.
Try that. Do it about 10 days apart. And if you're aware, I'm assuming you've got it in patches where that's all it is. You don't have, it's choked out any good grass where it's growing. Wrap it up, and then when you come back again in about 10 days and hit it again.
Yep.
I think you might get some little better results.
Yep. Make sure to read the label.
Okay.
Make sure to read the label. Cooperative Extension Agent here.
That's right.
Read the label.
Charlie, you have a wonderful day, my friend.
Good luck.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
Thanks for your information.
Yes, sir. Please call us again. Brother Joel, do we have time to take another call before we break, or what do you think? All right, Steve, can you be quick? Steve?
Found a dead deer in my garden.
A dead deer?
Oh, dear Lord.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that's odd.
It tried to jump over a section of my garden, and it got its paw caught in one of my pieces of artwork.
Ooh.
And fell on its neck and broke its neck.
Oh, no.
It was a paw.
They're all over the place.
Yeah, but it was almost a brand new baby.
That's awful. That's not a good way to start the day or any day.
Things
happen.
Nice,
yeah.
Pick it up and haul it off.
Right. So you're getting close to the peak of your daylilies, aren't you?
We've been steady at about 325, 330 for the last 3 or 4 days.
Wow.
So we're right at our peak, yeah.
How about that? So,
and we've got sections of our garden that are blooming that haven't bloomed in years because of the deer. They didn't hit me as hard this year, and the spray I did, and you know, they only got one section of my garden, and the back section is what they usually get, and that's blooming the best it's ever bloomed. So
that's fantastic.
If anybody, we're open. We're not going anywhere today, as far as I know. And if somebody wants to come and tour our garden, they're welcome to come.
Just one more.
If they go to the Daylily website, the Raleigh Daylily Club website, there's a tab that says Other. If you click on that tab, there's another tab in that says Display Gardens. If you click on that, there's a list of display gardens. I am not the only display garden in our club. We have about 8.
Wow.
But mine, I think, is prettier. So
I'm sure you got a lot of daylilies out there and a lot of other things.
But if anybody wants to come by and look at it, we'll be here. So
all right. Well, Steve, thank you. Thank you so much.
You guys are welcome to come, too.
We need to do that. We really do. You take care.
Like listening to you.
Thank you so much. All right. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up on WPTF.